Let's go to the Bible, Mark chapter 1. We'll start from verse 32 to 39. I'll read one verse and please follow. Mark chapter 1, verse 32. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Let us pray. Father, we come to you with a cheerful heart and also poor in our spirit. We come to you, fill us with your word. May your spirit help us to know you better. In Jesus' name we pray. This is the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, the very first year. And actually, we read in chapter 1. So this is just a start of his ministry. And from the verse we have read, apparently his ministry was very, very successful. Many people brought to Jesus the sick and the demon-possessed. And actually even get to the point that the whole town gathered at the door of Peter Simon's. And Jesus healed them and helped them and met their need. And furthermore, the next morning, Jesus went to the solitary place, and Peter Simon and his companions, I bet those disciples, together, they went out to look for him. They seek for him. And they want to find him. We read from other verses about the disciples. When they were in Gethsemane, they fell asleep. So they are kind of sleeping type of person. But early in the morning, they got up and went out and looking for Jesus. What made them get up early? Apparently, there must be a huge crowd right in front of the door. And they may knock at their door and wake them up. So they find out that people coming for Jesus. And they look around for Jesus and they couldn't find him. So that's why they went out and tried to search for Jesus. And Jesus actually went into the wilderness, a solitary place. And since so many people gather already early in the morning in front of the door, that moved them to find Jesus. And strikingly, we have read what Jesus replied when they found him. He said, "Let's go somewhere else." Actually, Simon said, "Everyone is looking for you. Everyone is looking for you." Jesus became so popular, and everyone wanted to find him. But as a ministry, it's just a beginning. So many people came voluntarily. And at this very moment, actually, if you run into a business or career, this is a golden opportunity because so many people already come. But Jesus said, let's go somewhere else. Does it hit anything to you? Let us go somewhere else. Could you imagine that the crowd outside, they came, maybe they got problem in their health. Maybe came with staff, crutch, walkers, maybe even on wheelchairs. Maybe some people even carried by people. They suffer pain and agony. They came to the door, hopefully that they can get healing. But Jesus replied, let's go somewhere else. Is that a smart answer? If you are the one, your business is started growing, and now you said, hey, let's go somewhere else. Hopefully this will touch you and make you to ask questions. Why? It's not very rational. And between all the people gathered and the disciple looking for him and then came out with this answer, there is one verse in between. Something happened and made this dramatic change. And that is, Jesus went to the solitary place where he prayed. He prayed. Well, for people, prayer actually is you talk to God and God talk to you. This is called prayer. Prayer is not I say something, but I never heard anything from above. That's not real prayer. Prayer is you talk to God and God talk to you. That's called prayer. And Jesus went to the solitary place and he prayed. And why he went to a solitary place, a wilderness? Because over there, nothing interfered. And no interruption. Just he himself along with God. And for Christian, you surely wish that you know what are you talking about. Because at that moment, you need to listen carefully, not just only speak clearly, but also you need to listen very carefully to what the message you may receive. And this is the way that we receive God's will. God will open his heart to you and tell you what really in his heart and what he wishes to you. So if a Christian, if you received God's will, it will surely come along with God's power and also God's blessing and God's wisdom. Make sure God's power supplied, blessing received, and wisdom provided. Because to accomplish God's will, you need all of these. Listen carefully, okay? This is very important to you, trust me. So you need to really ask for that, because that is your privilege as a Christian. You need to earnestly ask that, God, you need to tell me something. Otherwise, I will run aimlessly. I need to make clear to everyone here, when we talk about God's will, how do you know God's will? Most people based on something to determine whether this is God's will or not. And quite a few people determine whether this is God's will is based simply on you yourself, how you your sense respond. If you feel good, if you feel right, if you feel great for you, then you think this is God's will. So mostly people was looking to whether this is a success. Then they will say, yeah, this is God's will. Maybe through this, they can gain position, wealth, fame, and power. If through the process, they can get these and make them successful, then they will say, oh, this must be God's will. or maybe make your life smooth, coming all the way to your way, or maybe get health, long life, no pain, no illness, or maybe even feel great, good, cool. You feel happy. Some people, just based on these categories, and they say, this must be God's will. But they are not equal. They are not necessarily the same. I have learned a gentleman, Brother Chen. He got very little education. Actually, after fifth grade, he dropped out because of the financial problem of the family. And he worked very hard, and later he received Christ as his Savior. And the grace God have given to him, he started to feel thanksgiving to the Lord. So he asked God, he prayed dearly. He asked God, said, God, what do you want from me? And actually, he got this message from God is, what can you give? And he prayed to the Lord, said, I have no education. I don't know how to speak in front of people. I don't know how can I help and do anything for you. And all of a sudden, he thought, only one thing he can do. I know how to earn money. I had a very successful business. He got a big factory. So he prayed to God, say, God, if this is the tool, this is a way that I can serve you, help me, God. So he started to put aside 10% of his net income to the Lord from the whole factory, 10%. And after 2 years, his business doubled. And later, he ended up gross income, not the net income. He gave 70% to the Lord. And he bought an apartment right in front of Logos Seminary, a huge apartment. And he rented to the seminary student every semester, only paid $1 to him. He sincerely asked, what do you want from me? And God answered, and he followed. Maybe to many people or businessmen, you put such a humongous amount of revenue into something not related to your business, that may not be a very smart way, but he knew this is God's will. And he's still living. And many, many students benefited from this. So God's will, we would like to learn more if truly guide us into the certain direction. See, verse 38, Jesus said, let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages. He knows where to go. And so I can preach there. He knows what to do. And he said, that is why I have come. He knows why he do it. And then verse 39, he said, he went through Galilee preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. He know how. See, in your life, you will run into a certain situation that you are in the crossroad. You don't know which way to go. Nowadays, young men always try to learn how, know how. But know how doesn't work well for you, because just like young men like to drive car in a high speed, the fastest way they can drive, but they don't know where to go. And they don't know even why I live here. What my life serve the purpose. And that's sad. And especially for young men, I don't want you to wait until maybe you get to 50s. And then you found, I truly don't know why I'm living here. Because life is very, very precious. Every day, even the moment you sit here, you start cashing in your life. Every minute. You don't want to waste that. He knows where to go, the place, the location, the direction. And he knows what to do, the object, the mission, the goal. And he knows why, the reason, the cause, the calling. And he knows how, the method. See, this is wonderful. Because many people is just try and error. Coming this way, try it, and make a mistake, and make a turn, and then try. So in your life, you're kind of meandering, wandering. And that is a blessing for Christian. If we know God's will, we can always come from point A to point B directly. You can save a lot of time. And the time you save, you can spend in your Bible. You can pray. And you can get the blessing. And that's why 76% of Nobel Prize winners, they are Christian. They got to be very smart to get that prize. You got to be very smart. Because if something you spend your time in doing, just like chatting here, 2 days later you forgot whatever you said, mean nothing to you. So you got to focus something worthwhile. And Jesus said, I know why I come here. See, a person, if they know why they live for, and why they struggle for, and why they strive for, that's worthwhile. There's a king called Alexander the Great, from Greek or Macedonia. His father is a King Philip. And his father's empire started to grow gradually. When Alexander was 12 years old, the king, they have lots of horses, or wild horses, and they need to hire people to tame the wild horses. And among all those wild horses tamed, only one, the servant couldn't handle it. And the Alexander went to the horse and stood by there and talked to the horse. And the horse was tamed. And his father said, my son, Macedonia is too small for you. You better find a bigger place to conquer. And when he grew up or older, whenever he heard his father conquer another piece of land, instead of happily smile, he cried. Why? He said, Father, could you leave another piece of land for me to conquer? This is a conqueror. And he became the youngest emperor in the history of the big empire. He conquered all the way to Himalaya, India, and then went south all the way to Africa and the Europe, and that became a great empire. And he got a saying, said, I came, I saw, and I conquered. The same age, 33 years old, he died as Jesus. And Jesus only spent 3 years for his ministry. Only 3 years. From 30 to 33. I try to describe Jesus, say, I obeyed, I served, and I loved. And compare these two kingdoms. The final word for Alexander is, I died. When he died, he asked to put his two hands out of the coffin. He tried to show the people, I got nothing to in my hand. It's empty. And look at about the kingdom of Greek or Macedonia. Nowadays, Greek people ask all the Europe or the whole world to bail them out. But look at Jesus, his kingdom. I obey, I serve, I love. And the final word I gave is, I finished. His kingdom of God flourishing and growing still. For 33 years, never ever a person in the history can conquer so many territory. But at the end, nothing. Seeking for God's will make a huge difference. Jesus, looking to the Father, tell me, what do you want me to do? And once he received, he obeyed. And then he served and loved the people that he reached. Would that be some encouraging moment for you? That you got a chance to listen to his word. And if you want truly seek for his will, you got to be in a solitary condition. That means no other thing can influence you. You simply listen to what he said. And you show him that you have the will to follow completely. Then he will guide you. He will guide you. I serve as an engineer for the 3 years after I became a professional engineer. I work in the government, and somehow I gained some reputation. So one day, a company VP called me, and that company at that time was the rank 7th in the whole nation. And he called me and asked me whether I'm interested in a position in Phoenix. That is the largest city in Arizona, and I live in Tucson, that's the second one. And he offered me a manager position. He told me that we have looked into your profile and verified that your reputation and also the experience in the government. So we need that kind of a person into our position in Phoenix office. And you're going to be in charge for 14 engineers under you. And he gave me an offer. At that time, it's almost double of my income or salary. And that's a kind of honor, because as a new, young engineer, that is kind of a compliment. And so I listened carefully to what he said, and at the end he said, what I have offered you is still negotiable. So I appreciate him, and then we hang up, and I went home that night. I told my wife about this offer. And after dinner, I went into my study room and I kneeled down to pray. Almost instantly, when I called upon Jesus' name, I got a message from him. It's very simple. It's not for you. So I got up, and I went back to my bed and had a great sleep that night. I didn't need to roll over and over and pro and con and figure out which way to go. That's very simple, because he said so. And next morning, I made a phone call back to that VP. I appreciate his offer, and let him know that I have a ministry serving in the church. So I kind of turned down his offer. Through the years, see, God's will can be always tested and verified by time. Time is the most effective way to verify whether that is God's will or not. And the benefit I already receive is that nice sleep. It's so peaceful. I don't need to worry about anything else. I just listen to him. And later I found that 6 months later, that VP left that company to start his own new one. So I kind of thought that if I went and I accepted that offer, then all of a sudden, only 6 months in the new company, I lost my backup. Nobody gonna support me. Instead, probably they were gonna wipe me out. So I started to learn that, hey, yeah, you know, just follow his will is great. It's not that bad. And then, the end of June this year, I left my engineering career. Then I look back for these years. I really, truly appreciate he told me that is his will. And I'm thankful that I can surrender to him. Because through these years, God maybe put me in a tiny spot, made me try to check whether I'm faithful, even in the small things. And allow me not to really bother or interfere by many, many things, but can focus more on his own words. And I knew, and I know, he is right. And his will is the best for me. I wish you too. One day, maybe, see, I try to bring this testimony to you is after 23 years. Every day during these 23 years, every day his will been tested and tested and tested, and it stands still. What a blessing. You are invited to listen to his will and prepare your heart to follow. And that is a way we can count on his will. Let us pray.